Please stand clear of the doors. Por favor, manténganse alejado de las puertas.
Hey everybody, welcome to Unlocking the Magic. You're listening to episode number 316. We're gonna get the keys to unlock the mailbox today. We have so many messages. We've got messages from Instagram. We've got messages on Facebook and emails. We're going to try to get through all of them today. If not, we'll definitely do a second part.
Yes. Thank you so much for hanging out with us here on Unlocking the Magic podcast. Make sure you hit the subscribe button and sit tight. We're going to answer some of your questions that you've sent us today. It's going to be a fun episode.
Yes. And thank you for joining us over on YouTube. That's our new channel, newish channel, right?
Yeah, we're doing we've been doing a video for a while over there, but yeah go subscribe to our YouTube channel for shorter videos. And also, this episode is brought to you by our Patreon page. If you want some extra podcasts, some live shows, and join our fun community over there, go check out Unlocking the Magic on Patreon. It's $5 a month, two extra podcasts, a live show, and some fun over there on the Facebook group.
Yes, thank you so much for everyone that's been joining us over there. We're having a lot of fun hanging out with you guys.
Yes.
All right, lots of questions.
Let's do it.
We're gonna hit it off first with a personal question. Non-Disney, but this is a question that comes up a lot. This is from Taryn. New around here, what do you all do outside of podcasting? What do we do?
Not a lot. We don't do that much.
We don't do that much. You know, sit home a lot lately, especially.
Yeah. So what do we do outside of podcasting? That is an interesting question.
I am actually a house whisperer.
What is a house whisperer?
I have declared myself to be a house whisperer. I basically go to houses that I feel like they call me or whatever, and then I am able to find a buyer and a seller for these particular properties. They call upon me.
Oh, so in other words, you're a real estate agent.
Pretty much. Yeah.
Well, listen, if you have any referrals or if you want to buy or sell a house, contact Connie. info@unlockingthemagic.com.
No, the house always finds me.
Oh, that's true. I am a pizza connoisseur.
Yeah.
I grew up in the pizza industry. That's why when I talk about Pizza Planet or like Good Pizza, I do a podcast about pizza. And I also am a former restaurant owner and person, I guess.
Yeah.
And that's what I did. But now just like we talk about pizza.
Yeah. All right, next one. Fun ways to pass the time while waiting in long lines. Now we're back to Disney.
Is there any fun way to pass the time while you're waiting in a long line?
She says, other than taking in the scenery with a smiley face, because she knows probably I am going to answer that way.
I know you're going to answer that way. I take in the scenery for about 45 seconds, true, and then I'm like, what are we doing? Let's move along here.
Yeah, I think it definitely depends on which queue. If you're lucky enough to visit, like, one of my favorite queues is Dinosaur or Haunted Mansion, because then you really don't have to worry about fun ways to pass the line, because there is really, like, things to look at.
By the way, somebody sent us a message. I don't know if it was a message on iTunes or they left a review, and they said Dinosaur is the most boring queue ever.
Boring queue ever. I'm so sad. I'm so glad I didn't see that message, but thank you for sharing it.
Sorry, I just wanted to throw that out there.
I'm bummed out
now. I forget who it was. Maybe it was on Instagram.
Aw, I like it because I feel like I'm really into science, but I was never really into science when I was younger. You know what I mean? Like I like the way Disney kind of gives you like a fun way to introduce a subject, right? Whether it's, you know, true or not, it's just fun to me. And so when I'm in that queue, I feel really smart and like I learned something or whatever. And that's why I really like it.
I think there's two different ways to answer this question. If you're an extrovert,
yeah,
you could talk to people. Like you and Nathan, who's our brother-in-law, very much have no hesitations about talking to strangers. And like, so much so that like when the line moves up, we're like, can you guys, let's move up a little bit? Like there's a huge gap between you and the front of the people in front of you.
Well, now there has to be a gap. So that works.
Yeah, but in regular times.
Okay.
So you could talk to people, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Or like there's some games that the girls have on their phones that people play.
I normally don't love having our phones out. I know now with mobile ordering and all these things, like you really do have to have your phone available. But for me, it's sort of hard to have my phone with me because I hate when I get kind of, when I'm on vacation, I kind of like to just forget about, you know, any emails or any, like, I kind of just like to check out, right?
Yeah, it's so hard to have your phone. It's hard to have your phone unless you like delete the email app or the text app.
Maybe I should do that.
It's hard to have your phone and be able to use your phone for entertainment, but not work.
Right. But the girls do this fun game where they always seem to have fun, and it truly, like, we end up joining along. Like, yeah, it's just like a fun game. They have to guess the character. It's a Disney game.
It's like a charades game where they say, you say words and they have to guess what character you're doing.
There's a specific Disney one that they have on their phones. I don't have the name in front of me, but I'm sure you can just go in your app and find it. And that really has been like the best way. In fact, before like COVID and everything, you have to like separate from other families. Before that, you know, you'd be really close to other kids.
A little too close sometimes.
Yeah, that too. But what was fun was while the girls were playing this in line, all of a sudden you'd get like other kids that would want to join us. And all of a sudden we were just like in this line with a group of friends. And to me, as an extrovert, super fun, super cool way to pass the time.
I think you could do too, like take some of the things that we do on the podcast, like would you rathers, in or outs, overrated, underrated, and like just think of things and talk to your family about would you rathers or overrated, underrated, and like start a conversation about that and just have fun with it.
I totally agree. Like just make plans for that. I think on my packing list, I have like bring card games along or things like that to pass the time while you're waiting in line. But there are definitely ways you can be creative and have fun, and or maybe listen to the podcast, listen to an unlocking episode. If you're in line, maybe on Big Thunder Mountain or another attraction, you could always go on the search finder on your iTunes app and find it. And that way, maybe you might pick apart some interesting things about the ride you're about to go on.
Yeah.
So good tips there, Bruce. High five.
Thanks.
Okay. Next one. Best non-ride activities. This is for Amanda.
Best non-ride activities.
Yes.
Where? Anywhere?
Yeah, maybe.
I mean, food. Food has to be the best non-ride activity there is in the history of the world.
It's 100%.
Like if you ask me, what's the best non-ride activity? Eating.
Eating and drinking is the best way to enhance your day at any theme park.
You know what, too? You could also like look, try to find the little nuggets, maybe hidden Mickeys.
I don't know why you, the word nugget is so funny.
Nugget?
To me. Yeah.
What you do you say think of like Baby Yoda?
Yeah. Go ahead. Sorry.
You know, you could either find hidden Mickeys or like if you're on Main Street, look at the windows and Google who the people are on the windows because they all have significant meaning to the Walt Disney Company. So look at the things that Disney is very good at incorporating hidden things inside of these attractions or around the parks. So if you're not into the rides, look at that before you go and then try to find and search out those things that you could figure out and share with the rest of your family.
Yeah. I mean, Disney does a great job. Even though right now parades isn't a thing, there's still the other kind of drive-by parades that they're doing, right? Mm-hmm. Like the cruise parades. And you can definitely take in that. Dapper Dans. I mean, Tom Sawyer Island is a non-ride
activity. Yes.
Activity. To me, that's one of the best places to have fun and be a kid in the parks, you know? So I think there are definitely a lot of things you can do. And now if you add incorporate resorts to non-ride activities, that's...
I think she meant more in the parks or he meant more in the parks.
Because there's so much to do.
I mean, listen, there's nothing like getting a snack and non-creepily watching people as you eat your snack and just kind of relax wherever you are in the park.
Okay. Yeah, I'll go with that. All right, next one. Emily's Tarot. What extras should you add to your packing list when going to Disney during COVID?
I'm out on this one. I have no thoughts. This is all you.
You have nothing you wanted to add?
No. Huh. Other than that one, there was a post on Instagram or Facebook where this gentleman had this, it almost looked like a hula hoop around his waist.
Oh my gosh, stop it.
And it was like straps on and it was a hula hoop so people stay away from you. Other than that, I can't think of anything I'd want to add.
Bring pool noodles so that everyone
stays far away from me.
I have my packing list. You guys can go over to unlockingthemagicpod.com. And grab, it's free, your downloadable packing list. We still use it. I still print it. I print one for everybody in the family. In fact, we were talking about making a version for young kids, like kids that are like 5, 6 years old that really want to take part in the planning and preparing for the trip. So I was thinking of doing like pictures. So the young kids that don't necessarily know how to read yet can
you
go. Mean,
are you talking to me?
Yes.
Are you referring to me on this
one? I am. But I think it'd be a fun way to like incorporate. Obviously, you're going to have to check your 6-year-old's luggage, but I just think it's fun. I don't know what it is, but I still chuckle whenever I see our youngest Gianna pack her suitcase. Like It's like literally, you guys, it's like 10, you know, shorts, like random, just like the most random things you can think of. And I just smile like from ear to ear whenever I see it. She throws like a softball in there. It's just funny. But anyway, you can go over there to grab our packing list. But in the list, I have specifically added blank lines so that you can handwrite things. And I find that to be very helpful, especially with COVID, because obviously there are things that you want to bring, like extra masks. Don't just pack one or two masks. That's been something that I know people that have gone that have talked about. It's just because you're there, it's hot and sweaty, and it might be a lot different than wearing a mask in humid conditions in Florida versus, I mean, look, you should wash your mask anyway, but here in New England where it's cold, you wear a mask, you take it off, it's like really fine usually.
Yeah, generally too, like if you go to the parks,
yeah,
and you're there when it opens for till it closes, maybe you're wearing that mask a lot. When you're home, you're kind of in your car. Maybe you go into the store, you come out, you go in your house, you get to take it off and on throughout the day. Down there, you're probably wearing it if you're in the parks for the majority of the time.
Just
remember that. Like have a handful of masks with you.
Yeah. And I always say, just depending on non-COVID or not, just go through that packing list, because really it's been helpful, especially if you are traveling when it's really hot in Florida. I feel like people that are prepared when they go down have the best time versus people that are not prepared and they're miserable in the heat. I'm referring to us because that's happened several occasions. And that's why I created that packing list. Anyway, okay, next one, May Matt. Will Disney dining plan and or promotions be back? Will it be worth it?
I mean, I hope so. I don't know if the dining plan, listen, you got to be a mathematician in order to figure out if the dining plan is worth it. And like also, but I think you just have to, for us, the dining plan isn't necessarily about saving money. It's more about peace of mind and not having to worry about everybody ordering what they want to order and trying to figure out and have your money ready. So you just get the dining plan and you're like, all right, just get whatever you want.
Yeah.
But who knows if it's going to come back? You know, if it's going to come back and what it's going to look like if it comes back.
I feel like it will come back because it is part of the all-inclusive part of a resort type of vacation. I think that is an important element in making people feel like it's an all-inclusive thing.
A lot of people lately have been saying too, like, is it worth it to stay on property because all of these things aren't there right now? And maybe that's the case, right? So yeah. I think Disney will look at that and say, listen, we got to make sure that our properties are worth staying on. So people, because it's very easy to stay at an Airbnb or off property resort and save some money and drive in, you know, but you have to look at that. I'm sure Disney will look at that and try to figure out ways to make it worth people's money and time to stay on property.
Right. Yeah.
Because it is expensive.
Well, yeah. I always think with the dining plan, especially like it just for our particular family, like Bruce said, you definitely have to be a mathematician to see if it's worth the price. But I do think if you have a family that's big eaters, it is worth it. If your family is like, doesn't have, I mean, like I feel like in my past life, I was a competitive eater. So I can put it down. So for us, we get our money's worth on that, but maybe not for others. So that's where I think in the future, if it does come back, you just have to look at your own family and see how much you eat. And that would make it worth it. You could also do like Disney gift cards beforehand and like load the gift card and make you feel like you're setting aside the money before your trip. So it does still feel all
inclusive. That's probably the best way to go if it's a financial thing. Like if you're looking worried about money, like prepay ahead of time.
All right. This is from The Beach Babe.
All right.
That's a fun name.
That is a fun name. It's not me, by the way.
It's not. It's in my dreams. Obsessed with the cream cheese filled pretzels. Have you ever had it? No one ever talks about it. We've never had it.
No, we have not.
Cream cheese filled. I'm surprised. But that being said, now that I think about it out loud, we're a very basic pretzel kind of family.
I love the classic salted Mickey pretzel.
The classic salted Mickey. It's very comforting. You know, it's similar to something you probably had at another park before, you know, at home or something. But it's Mickey.
Yeah, I feel like it's pretty good size for the price, too. Exactly. It's filling. It's a salty snack. You know, I'm all about that. I've never had the cream cheese filled one, though, but maybe if somebody buys it for me, I'll try it.
Okay. McLaughlin, that's the name. These are hard because they're from Instagram. What's the best park to start off your vacation? We chose Animal Kingdom. So they're going soon and they chose Animal Kingdom as their first Disney park.
I feel like we often choose Animal Kingdom for the first park that we go to as well.
You are wrong. We choose Hollywood Studios.
I mean, at Hollywood Studios, I feel like we choose a lot.
I was thinking about it and
Hold on a second.
Yeah.
Hollywood Studios for this trip or normally?
Normally.
Really?
We always go to Hollywood Studios first.
Where have I been?
I don't know. But
am I going on these trips with you?
I'm pretty sure. We usually hit Animal Kingdom is the second day.
Oh, okay.
Or maybe the third. I know it's always Hollywood Studios first, and then we like to do, as our last, we always like to do Magic Kingdom.
Yeah, some people said on that too. I think on either Facebook, I asked that question, and someone said they like to start with Magic Kingdom and then also end with Magic Kingdom.
I mean, you can't go wrong there too. But Animal Kingdom would be fun to start. That's a great park to start off your boat trip. I just really love old Hollywood. So I'm always attracted to starting at Hollywood Studios because I love dressing the era and I just really get into it when we're there. So that's why we chose that one.
Yeah, I think it would either be Hollywood Studios if I had to choose Hollywood Studios or Animal Kingdom. I like the Animal Kingdom to start and Magic Kingdom to end.
Yeah, I agree. Okay, next one is from Becky. Should we go to Disney Springs after being at a park all day?
No.
We won't have non-park days.
Listen. I'm going to get a lot of heat for this one.
Go for it.
I'm not a big Disney Springs person. I don't feel like you need to go there. If you have a full trip, you're staying on a property, unless you're bored, you want something to do, go to Disney Springs. But I don't feel like it's a must visit for me.
You know what's weird? I just realized that I feel like in all our trips to Disney Springs, I feel like you're going for me. I just realized that. I'm just thinking about it. Like, you pretty much go along with what I want to do. And Disney Springs is part of that because I window shop there and I have so much fun. And I think, and I don't feel like you do.
I think at some point during the trip, we get a little bored and then we're like, maybe we should go to Disney Springs because it's something to do versus, like, that's me at least, versus really wanting to go there.
I cannot believe you said Disney Springs is a place you go to when you're bored. First of all, who's getting bored on a Disney vacation?
Listen, sometimes I get bored. I'm a little kid.
Who are you, first of all? Secondly, Disney Springs is my favorite place to go. World of Disney is my favorite place to shop for a Disney souvenir. I love going there because they have everything and you don't have to feel the stress of shopping while you're at a park. So, because to me, that takes away the time that you can do and visit the attractions. So I think, but I don't think it's a good place to go if you're going to be at the parks all day. I just can't imagine being at the parks all day with all that stimulation and then going to Disney Springs, which is also all stimulation. If you're talking about maybe the boardwalk and going to like chill out,
yeah,
that would be different.
Or if you're just like getting something to eat, maybe you're going to Disney Springs to eat and it's a more of a relaxing trip afterwards than versus shopping. You don't want to, who's going to shop after going to the parks all day? I don't even want to shop normally.
No, you don't.
Let alone after the park. So all I want to go to Disney Springs for is get a piece of pizza, get myself a mug, and I'm out.
That, I'm out. You're out. I know I like to talk a lot, but like...
No way.
I like shopping and I like talking about shopping, but in all honesty, shopping wears me out. So even though I...
That's funny because talking wears me out.
Okay. But I just can't imagine after the park. So I'm going to say no, don't go after the parks. I'm kind of sad about it, but yeah, no. Okay, next one. What do you do to keep kids happy during long waits for rides? Oh, we kind of already talked about that.
Yeah. So tell them, listen, you're in Disney. Yeah. I brought you here. It costs a lot of money. What do you mean you're not happy? That's what you say to them. You say, listen, kid, you're lucky you're here.
The one thing that I find that helps is bringing some souvenirs before you go to the trip. Like things like at your dollar store, maybe. I don't know. When we were down, at one point, our 17-year-old asked for a bubble wand because she saw somebody have it. And waiting in line, and they were just using the bubble wand, and she was so jealous. She's 17.
I know. I said, get a bubble job.
Get a bubble job,
get
lady.
Get your own wand.
So I think that would be helpful, though. Just go to the dollar store and grabbing some things. Again, use that packing list to like look at things that you can have to keep the kids busy in line. Okay, next one.
I think also, too, don't force kids to go on attractions they don't want to go on.
Yeah.
Because that's when it gets hectic in those lines. Like, if you make your kid go on something that they're not super pumped about going on.
Yeah.
That's kind of when they get bored in line and that's when it gets difficult for the parent.
Or like when the kids are overstimulated.
Yeah.
You have to recognize the fact that you are out of your element from home. And even though you want to have the best trip ever and do as many things as you want, there's still like longing almost their home routine. I remember one of our...
You're talking to me again?
Yeah, you. You need your rest time. You need your like... You need to remember that sometimes when you get antsy in line or whatever, it's because you just need to get out from the overstimulation of being in the park for a minute. Like maybe go do that thing where you said you grab food and you
I feel watch. Like every time you say like you give advice about kids, you're referring to me.
Oh, I am. 100%. Okay, you are basically my child. Okay, next one from Gracie. Favorite Disney dark ride.
What is considered a dark ride?
Like, well, when it used to be there, the Adventures of the Snow White one.
Like, is Haunted Mansion a dark ride?
Sure. That's going to be my choice.
Is Space Mountain a dark ride?
Well, no. I feel like dark ride would be like...
Because I'm a simple man. So true. When you say dark, it means like there's no lights on.
All right. How about this, Bruce? You do both versions.
Okay.
favorite ride without lights on.
Favorite ride without lights on. Space Mountain.
Okay. Favorite ride that's spooky.
Favorite ride that... Haunted Mansion.
Yeah.
It's got to be Haunted Mansion.
Is that our favorite? I think it is.
It's got to be.
Yeah. I think I'm for some reason every time I think of favorite Disney dark ride, my mind goes to Disneyland.
Yes.
Because I feel like there's a lot of dark elements in all of Disney's movies, and it came across in a lot of his
original rides. Attractions.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So even the Mr. Toad's Wild Adventure is kind of dark. Like, I don't know. That's where my mind goes.
Favorite Disney dark ride, Finding Nemo experience in Animal Kingdom. That scares me to death.
Why are you being so sarcastic? I don't understand how that's funny.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, it's my humor's not coming across in the podcast today.
No, not really. All right, next one from S. Freddie. Will the con interviews be online after? I can't listen during work. He's talking about the Parks Con. We have to discuss it here because only Patreon knows our status with that, I think.
Right.
But unfortunately, we actually are not going to be on Parks Con. We decided to remove our interview for a variety of reasons. You guys can still go check it out if you want. It's free. Don't buy it. But it's free. You have to buy it if you're not going to be online during the times. That's the only bummer. And a couple of, you know, there was multiple reasons why we backed out. But anyway, there'll be something soon. Maybe we'll do an unlock type Parks Con in the future.
No, we won't.
Oh, okay. Next one. Galaxy's Edge lightsaber or droid experience. Ooh.
I always think the lightsabers are cool, but do they, pardon my non-droid or lightsaber experience here.
Okay.
Do they collapse or do they stay out the whole time?
I'm pretty sure they, that's a good question.
Because if they stay out the whole time, I'm out because it's going to draw attention to me and I don't want that.
Wait, do they?
But if they collapse and I can stick it in my pocket or my backpack or
do they collapse?
My string backpack.
They must.
Then I think the lightsabers are pretty cool.
Yeah, I agree with you.
Is there anything cooler than whipping out your lightsaber? That sounded weird.
Yeah.
Whipping out your lightsaber and never mind.
Yeah, okay.
I'm just going to leave that thing. There's nothing I want to say right now that's not going to make it awkward.
You suddenly can do like a dual fight. Like all of a sudden I'm like, Bruce, let's go on.
Like imagine me in line with a lightsaber.
No, God.
And somebody's too close to me.
Yeah,
I'm going to whip that thing out and be like, back up, buddy.
It's going to be
you're a little
scary.
Too close.
Yeah. Okay, next one. So we agree lightsaber is better than droid experience?
I've never done either, but if I had to choose, I would say lightsaber.
Okay, next one from Katie. Do you book through a travel agency? If so, who do you book through?
We book through us now.
What? What is that?
So we're starting our own travel agency. I'm just going to throw it out there.
Okay.
But it's not going to be a regular travel agency. The reason we started our own thing, and we haven't talked about it. We started a while ago. We haven't talked about it on the podcast.
It's kind of on the down low right now.
Yeah. And we're not working with a ton of people.
Right.
So we have been approached by a lot of travel agency to sponsor the podcast. And we just didn't feel comfortable taking on a sponsor of a travel agency that we didn't have, I don't want to say control over, but input on or
their work ethic.
We don't know them. Right.
Right.
Like a sponsor of a travel agency could sponsor the podcast and it's great. You get some money. But you don't really know that travel agency and you don't know what their philosophy is or how they help clients or what they've done for other clients. And it's hard to put our listenership in their hands.
Yeah.
So we decided to start our own. We haven't talked about it a lot. We probably won't mention it a ton on the podcast because we're not going to push it.
Right.
But we have one.
We're growing slowly for a reason because we want to make sure that we stand out and we're different than other agencies, and I'm not trying to bash anybody else because there are some great agents out there and hard workers, but we have a different approach that we hope that we find will make your experience much more unique, just like this podcast. Like, we have done this podcast now for a long time, and I think the reason why we're we're still here today is because we are a little bit different. And yeah. I think that we just want to bring you that style when it comes to vacation. That being said, Bruce is not going to be booking trips. So no, don't worry. I can hear people laughing right now. Like, oh my gosh, Bruce, planning my expensive trip to Walt Disney World. No, I'm out.
It's never going to happen. Don't worry about it.
So don't worry. Don't worry, guys. You're okay.
But if you do need help with your trip, you can reach out to us, info@unlockingthemagic.com. We'll refer you to one of our people.
All right, next one. Again, it's slow moving. We're only doing a select few right now just because we want to limit how many we're doing so that we get going, but in a way where we are very much 100%, like Disney, right? We want to give that kind of service right to you. All right, next one. From KM Klauberg, what is a ride you don't ride while visiting Walt Disney World?
You know, I don't think we go on Small World in Magic Kingdom all Never. That much.
I don't think after talking to Rolly Crump, look, I feel bad saying this because a lot of people aren't able to maybe ever get to Disneyland. I get it. So they want to experience this attraction. But after talking to Rolly Crump, it's really kind of painful for him to have that attraction in the Magic Kingdom because it's not the same.
Right.
And he didn't put his stamp of approval, I think, on it. And so I feel like it's doing a disservice to him, and I feel like he's become a friend and I feel bad. So for that reason, we skip it.
Yeah. That and I don't know. Splash Mountain, I don't go on either. I don't want to get wet.
Ugh. We fight about that one.
So I don't go on that.
We argue a lot about because I don't mind. I just have fun. I don't care. I mean, unless it's cold, which it's very rare to be cold in Florida, but we argue about this one.
I think those are the two in Magic Kingdom that we don't go on.
Where else? Where any other?
So Epcot, you don't like the
Mission Space.
Yeah, Mission Space. You don't enjoy that. A test track is not something that we have to go on. Like the kids go on it, but you and I don't have to go on it. We will go on depending on how long the line is, but it's not something we have to go on.
Sorry, but the last trip made me change my mind on that. So it is now an attraction I have to go on.
It's like 30 seconds of good fun.
I don't
fun.
Care. It's so much fun. It's super fun ride, and I am not skipping it. So
Finding Nemo and Friends, I don't have to go on that.
Wait.
In Animal Kingdom.
What?
It's too long.
Oh, the show.
The show.
Oh, Nemo.
In Epcot, I do. I like that one.
Okay.
In Animal Kingdom. And what about in Hollywood Studios? What's one attraction in Hollywood Studios that you don't have to go on?
I don't know. Is it what's the Lightning McQueen show thing? Is that still going on? I haven't even looked. You don't even know what I'm talking about because we skip it a lot.
I have no idea.
All right. That would be one of them. I don't know if it's going on right now anyway, but that's usually one. But I mean, we try to go on everything. We're not really.
There's always somebody in our family that wants to go on. So other than Small World,
yeah.
There's always somebody in our family that wants to go on something and everybody else just kind of takes one for the team.
Exactly. All right. Next one. Tilly Webb. Would you rank or could you rank deluxe hotels? Maybe just the ones you stayed, so it's easier. Have we done that?
I don't know.
Yeah, we've ranked them, I think.
I think we did a YouTube video about that. If you want to go check out our YouTube video, we ranked the deluxe hotels. I really don't think you can go wrong on any of them.
I don't know. I feel like for me, particularly, don't get me wrong, any deluxe resort is amazing. But there's nothing better than being on the Seven Seas Lagoon, in my personal opinion. Like, I love seeing the castle. To me, it's very magical. The waters there on Seven Seas is very mystical, if you will. Like, I just feel very magical over there.
I agree with you, but I really did enjoy staying at the Animal Kingdom Lodge the last time we went.
That is also a very, very tranquil setting.
Rank them real quick.
I can't. It's just too hard.
So Loop is top three, probably, because you're on the Loop. Pick that first. And then Animal Kingdom.
It's always going to depend on my mood too and like what I'm looking for in a particular trip. But I'm always going to put Polynesian up front because that one to me is like the centerpiece of the Seven Seas Lagoon. Plus, I love the Polynesian vibe. I mean, you know, that Hawaiian feel, that whole thing. So I'm always going to have that one as my top. And then I think if you're going down the list, I would say, oh, it's a hard one because Animal Kingdom, I really loved that experience. I felt like Animal Kingdom Lodge had a very similar atmosphere to the Polynesian. Very tranquil. The animals are very calm. Cast members are so wonderful. Lots to do. So it's tricky.
We did do a YouTube video. So if you want to go see our opinions for real,
yeah,
go watch that YouTube
video. For real,
video.
That was fake?
Well, no, it was like we did a whole video about that.
What's your top choice right now?
Just, if you had to tell me?
Just one.
Polynesian.
Polynesian, right?
Yeah.
Is it because we have a special memory and it connects us to that
resort? Definitely has something to do with
it. All right. If you took that element out of it, would it still be your top choice?
I think I'd want to stay at the Contemporary because I've never stayed there before.
Oh, okay.
And then for me, it would go Polynesian, Contemporary, just because I haven't stayed there. Animal Kingdom Lodge, Grand Floridian.
Yeah.
And then what's the other one?
There's a lot. There's like the Beach Club and Yacht Club. There's so many.
Yeah.
There's so many. Okay. Next one. Okay. Best meal you've ever had in all parks and resorts. Want to go out with a bang on our last day?
I mean, Tonga Toast for me is the best meal I've ever had in any park or resort.
Is it really?
No, I'm just kidding. Oh. Not the best. The most pleasurable, maybe.
Yeah.
Like, I'm the most excited about Tonga Toast, only because I talk about it all the time.
True.
I think that meal we had either at the California Grill was really good, or Liberty Tree Tavern, underrated, really good meal. You got to set your expectations low because you're not going to get fancy food, but you're going to feel full. It's got a good atmosphere. You're going to get a good meal that's feels like you're at home in your own kitchen eating something. And I like that. It makes me feel comfortable.
Yeah. I think that they've been stepping up their game, Disney, lately, because they have been doing some really fun and unique dishes all around. So I don't know. There's so many. I think one post the other day, there was the Yacht Club, the steakhouse there. Yeah. Someone posted eating there. And I don't know. There's just so many places that you can.
Where's the one that sticks in your mind that you've gone to?
That's hard because I'm more about the theme than I am the food. I don't know why, even though I told you, maybe Sanaa.
Yeah, Sanaa's good too.
I don't know. I feel like that one is really good. Someone from our Patreon, Jennifer from our Patreon group, she posted a visit at Wine Bar George and she got the short rib.
That looked really good too.
Holy cow. That sometimes looked so good.
Sanaa was really good because I think our expectations for Sanaa was really low. Same with Liberty Tree Tavern the first time he went. I remember going to the Liberty Tree Tavern for the first time and thinking in my head, we're going here? Like, really? Maybe that's why I enjoyed it so much because I had really low expectations. So yeah. I think that's kind of the key.
Yeah, but we've been multiple times since then and it's always met your expectations. So that's important to note.
That is also true.
Okay. All right. Next one. We have so many questions. I don't think I've only gone through one sheet.
Oh, more.
Just so you know. What's the first thing? This is from Rory. What's the first thing you do when you go on your next Disney trip?
What's the first thing we're going to do?
Yeah.
I'm going to put my shorts on.
Yeah.
Just lay in the sun. I know that has nothing to do with Disney.
Yeah.
But it's been a cold winter here in the Northeast. And when I get to Florida and it's 85 degrees, I'm going to enjoy that 85 degrees.
I may put on my bathing suit before we leave from home.
You know what? I think we're staying at the Poly on our next vacation. I don't even think I'm going to put my bathing suit on. I think I might just jump in the pool with all my clothes on.
Are you allowed to do that?
I'm going to. I'd rather ask for forgiveness than permission. You know
all
me.
All right. Well, I'm going to put on some sunscreen. I'm going to smell like coconut oil and sunscreen on the plane, and I'm going to have my bathing suit on, and that's the first thing I'm thinking is getting one of those lava smoothies at the Polynesian. I know I'm like 12 years old because they're non-alcoholic, but I love them. They're so good, and that's what I'm picturing, like just being on the beach somewhere on the Seven Seas Lagoon, having that drink and just smiling.
I want to do like they do with those videos where you see people like lay their towel on the pool and then they just fall into it. I'm doing that.
I love it. Okay. Next question is from Josie. If you could change one thing about Walt Disney World, what would it be?
If I could change one thing about Walt Disney World, what would it be? That is an interesting question.
One thing. I mean, look. I've had some ideas, you guys, and for somehow,
capacity levels,
they have come to fruition. I don't know if I'm just that connected or what, but like I tell Bruce all the time, the grass lawn in front of the castle was my idea. I invented that. No, but really, I think the one thing I would change,
is it Disney World or every Disney in general, like Disney parks? So I have one, but it's not a Disney World.
Okay, well, share it. Let's just hear it.
I would retheme Pizza Planet, and I would take over and make it really good pizza.
Okay, that's fair.
That's the one thing I would do, and I can do. Reach out to me, Disney.
I think the one thing I would change about Walt Disney World is I would incorporate more Walt Disney history before you entered any theme park.
That is a good one. Yeah. You know, like One Man's Dream, maybe put something like that in every park.
Yeah.
And not make it mandatory.
No, I want it mandatory.
But make it prevalent.
I want it like before you can get in, like part of your park admission, like a standing line queue.
Almost like they have when you go on Dinosaur, you see that movie beforehand. Like almost every attraction has the queue, and then they have some sort of movie where they tell you what you're going to experience. Mm-hmm. Like before you go into the park, you watch that One Man's Dream, like 5 minutes of that, so you get the history of Disney, and then you get to go in.
Yeah.
I think you'll appreciate it more.
I agree. I think that would mean that would... Unfortunately, that would probably dismiss our podcast because if Disney did that, then people would understand the importance of the parks and like how to live in the moment. So I don't think Bruce and I would probably podcast anymore because people would get it.
I'd be okay with that.
But I think that to me is the most important element. At least it reminded me like a connection to the park. Or just a reminder to just be okay to be a kid. Like that should be a reminder everywhere at the Disney parks. And I think that they're good at it, but they're not great at reminding at least adults that like you're in a park, like your kids are going to remember your attitude versus the rides. Like
right.
When I look back at my best memories as a kid, other than, I mean, granted Space Mountain was pretty cool, but I do remember my dad just being so fun and letting loose. And, you know, now that he's not unfortunately around, those are those special memories that I treasure. So just think of that next time you go to the parks.
I don't have any of those.
Yeah, I just got emotional. Sorry, you guys.
It's okay.
Okay. Whew. Next one. Have we answered this before? This is from Goth. Goth to Neverland. What is your favorite land or park area entrances in Magic Kingdom, Hollywood Studios, and Animal Kingdom?
I think we just did a podcast about that. I mean, not a podcast, a YouTube video. Yeah. We literally just did a YouTube video on this. So go check out our YouTube video with all of our favorite best land in each Disney World park. We did it there.
Yeah.
Go check it out.
Okay. Next one is from Ryan. What are your go-to food options at Hollywood Studios if you aren't doing a sit-down?
What do we usually do?
I don't know, but I feel like Hollywood Studios is the one area where the food options for quick service isn't...
up to par?
Isn't great.
It's very much the same, I think. There's not a lot of options that are different.
Yeah. If you're not doing sit-down, like, because, like, even everything at Star Wars Land, like, you have to do, like, a reservation or, you know, my favorite sci-fi dine-in theater. For quick service, what's the other? ABC Commissary is okay.
There's Woody's Lunchbox.
Yeah. We haven't tried that yet, which we're hoping to try next time.
Heard good things about it, though.
Where do you find the Ronto Wrap? Is that quick service? Because that's something we want to try next.
I don't know.
We have to look at that. But that, for ultimately for Hollywood Studios, if we're not on, if we don't have scheduled dining reservations anywhere, we actually bring a lot of food from back home, from the hotel or whatever. Like we bring a lot of snacks because they're really, it's just the one park that I don't feel like we ever like find the need to like snack around.
Yeah, it's the one park where food isn't the main attraction for us.
That's it.
Every other park, food's the main attraction. We're always looking for that snack or that eat that we love, except in Hollywood Studios. It's crazy you say that.
Yeah. Did you Google a Ronto Wrap? Where do you find that again?
Is it Ronto Roasters?
Maybe.
Yes, I think that might
be it.
Is that
quick service?
Yes.
Okay.
So there's also Pizza Rizzo, which is kind of a quick service.
Yeah.
Olga's Cantina.
No, you need a reservation for Olga's
Woody's Lunchbox.
Cantina.
Oh.
So, but Woody's Lunchbox you don't.
Yeah. And then we sometimes always end up at the Backlot Express.
We always end up there.
Because there's like indoor and outdoor dining.
Yeah.
Plus it's like got a menu that's pretty simple. And like we said, when we go to Hollywood Studios, food isn't usually the main attraction for us.
Right. Okay. Next one. This is from JSW. How should my boyfriend and I compromise our next trip? He likes to relax a lot and I like to do a lot. That's like you and me.
She's fast and he's weird.
That's Bruce and I in a nutshell.
Yeah, that's it.
I like to relax and Bruce likes to do a lot. So you asked the right people. I would say, how do you compromise? Well, first of all, you got to incorporate food, right?
Anytime you relax, I eat.
Food always brings people together, right? So go through the menus and go through all the quick services or places that you can eat. Because I think that's a huge way to get everybody on the same page when you're visiting Disney.
We're either doing...
Yeah.
Or you relax while I get a Joffrey's in a snack or I'm eating something.
I mean, you're
that's how you
busy.
Get me to relax.
Yeah, I agree.
And like, don't be afraid to separate. Like if he wants to relax and you want to go on an attraction and he doesn't, go. We do that quite a bit. Not a lot, but we do it often where you don't want to go on something and me and G will just take off and go on something.
But that's the thing. Here's the thing. If it's just the two of them, like if it was just the two of us, would we do that? Would we separate from each other? Because I feel like you and I separate from each other because we have the kids with us and we can have our like companion.
I wouldn't go on an attraction alone, but you would if you wanted to.
I totally would.
So if you wanted to go on something and I didn't,
yeah,
I would sit there and wait while you went on it. Not the opposite.
Yeah. I really feel like compromising is with food or booking a nice resort, because if he likes to relax a lot, the off park days, the more that the resort has to offer, like so moderate and above, you're going to automatically incorporate that relaxation feeling. I feel like that's when value kind of doesn't hit that mark. Like yeah. Value is a great option for staying on property, but it doesn't offer that relaxation feel as the, of course, the Luxe does, but also you can find it in a mid-level moderate, like Coronado. Yeah. So I think that
would be. Or even Caribbean Beach.
Yeah.
Same kind of vibe.
Yeah. That's how I think you can compromise. Okay. Next one is from Anam. How would you change or add to one of the theme parks, new land or expand on an existing?
Didn't we already answer this?
We've always talked about adding I feel like the villains area.
Yes.
We've always talked about that. I've always wanted to do an extension on Hollywood Studios. I have big ideas for Hollywood Studios.
I think Hollywood Studios should get back into movies and the history of movies and expand on that a little bit.
Yeah.
I do like Galaxy's Edge and Toy Story Land. I think those are good lands themselves.
Mm-hmm.
How they fit into Hollywood Studios and the original idea for it, not that sure.
Right.
But I think Hollywood Studios should expand on the movie making aspect of it.
Yeah. I want more of Tower Terror, kind of a Twilight Zone type area. I don't know why, but I do that part of movie making back then. I've always craved it, but I'm just waiting. I'm waiting for somebody from Disney to call me so I can go over all these amazing ideas.
Yeah. Listen up, Disney. Give us a call.
Okay. Next one from Emily Giggles. What would be a Walt Disney World themed Guinness Book of World Records you'd try to set?
Eating the most Tonga toast.
How'd I know you were going to say that?
Selling the most Tonga toast. Who sold the most Tonga toast outside of the cast members who work at Captain Cook's?
Yeah, that would be yours.
I'm pretty sure it is me.
Yeah.
I think I do have that. Other than the official Guinness Book of World Records, I don't officially have it, but I'm pretty sure I got it wrapped up.
I do think you do.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that anything eating related, I'm down with. I really can eat a lot.
I don't know if I could do that. I feel that if I entered one of those eating challenges, if you could eat the most Tonga toast, part of me almost feels that I would not like Tonga toast afterwards. I wouldn't want to do that.
Right.
Somebody posted in our Patreon page about a gentleman who, in a certain amount of time, went to every Disney park in the world.
Oh, yeah.
And I said, why? Why do that to yourself?
Because his name is everywhere. Maybe that's why he wanted it.
I already forgot his name.
Oh, okay. Too stressful.
So much work.
Yeah, it is.
For a few minutes of fame. He did do it for charity, which is cool.
Oh, that's cool.
So that would be cool if you did something for charity. But on my own, never.
I can't think of anything that would be in the Guinness World Book of Records that I could do. I mean, I told you, I can eat. Girl can eat. But other than that, I don't know. I'd have to really think about that. It is cool that he did it for charity. I'd love to do something like that.
There's a guy, too, who went to Disneyland every day.
Yeah.
For a certain amount of time.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Do you think the novelty would wear off if you went every single day for 5 years?
I don't know.
Maybe. Doesn't mean you have to stay there all day. You just got to check in. Say hello.
Yeah.
Get something to eat. And check out.
I mean, I could do it.
I guess I'll do that one.
Okay. Next one from G. Danzy. What is one piece of advice you would give a Disneyland regular for their first trip to Walt Disney World? Wow, that's a good one.
You know, it's not going to be the same. Mm-hmm. It's much bigger. Be prepared to walk a lot more.
She said one piece of advice.
This is the whole piece of advice.
Okay.
Be prepared to walk a lot more and have low expectations. You know, Disneyland is your home. It's going to be the original park that Walt had his hands on. Mm-hmm. It's not going to be the same. So don't try to compare Disney World to Disneyland because you won't be able to do that.
I just think that don't get overwhelmed because it is that much bigger. I think as a Disneyland regular, it is much more of a casual place to visit and a very easy park to go to without planning or anything. But at the opposite side of the spectrum, you do want to plan everything in Walt Disney World, but you don't want to overplan and overwhelm yourself because you're not going to do it all like you can in Disneyland. And if you set your expectations to that point, you're going to come home very disappointed.
Yes. And so remember it's that. Much bigger and more spread out. You're going to have a lot more room.
Next one from Andrew. Best date night restaurant, not Victoria and Albert's. Well, it's a good thing we've never been to a Victoria and Albert's, so we can't compare.
We're not even going to say that anyway.
No, we're not going to say that. It's a little too fancy, a little too pricey for our date nights here.
So but we haven't done this a lot. I don't think ever we've gone out without the kids to eat. So there's got to be maybe not one that we could
Disney.
Give. Yeah, maybe not one that we could give you that we liked, but maybe what would be on your bucket list if it was just you and I to go out? What restaurants have you always wanted to go to?
I think I would love to go to like Olga's Cantina with you and just kind of be in that cool vibe or I know this isn't a restaurant per se, but it's a date night. I've always wanted to go to Abracadabra.
Yeah.
Wait, Abracadabra with you. That's at the boardwalk. It's super cool and unique. I would love to do that. And of course, the grotto at the Polynesian Resort there.
Yes.
That I think that would be really cool. I'm all about like the vibe and the whole kind of element where you can bring kids, but maybe you shouldn't kind of thing. Like that's what I feel.
It's less necessary than other dining places to bring kids.
Right. So I think that would be my ultimate date.
All right, let's do it next time then.
Okay.
I'm all about leaving the kids.
How can we ditch them?
Yeah. Do the hold. What's that over there?
Okay. Okay. What, this is from Lin Lan. What makes paying a deluxe resort price worth it?
I think we talked about that earlier in the podcast. Not sure right now it is worth it. There's a lot that is not available to you at a deluxe resort other than what you stated about the relaxing feeling. So maybe you don't have to right now. Maybe now is not the time to get a deluxe resort.
All right, normal times.
What makes it, what you said, the atmosphere. When you stay at a moderate or a value, the atmosphere is much more, I don't want to say kid friendly, but it's much more kid friendly. Whereas if you stay at the Polynesian, there's kids at every resort. So don't get me wrong about that. But there's places where you can go that you can feel like you're on vacation at these places.
Don't throw the kids into that mix. Like, don't, poor kids. Listen, no, that's not the reason. I'm going to step over you.
I don't mean to say that the kids are there, but what I mean is they're much, like the Polynesian is a resort made differently than the Art of Animation.
Do you mean, okay.
The theming of it. It's much more focused on the kids than it is the family itself.
So you feel like the design element caters to the children to like keep them entertained?
Yes.
Gotcha.
So
okay.
I'm not saying anything about the kids being there. Saying like when you stay at the Polynesian or the Grand Floridian, you feel like you're staying at a resort that may or may not be at Disney.
Oh, gotcha.
But when you stay at the Art of Animation or the All-Star Sports, like, you know, that's meant to be a Disney resort and there's a lot to do for kids and it's stimulated towards kids.
Yeah, I agree. And I think that's what makes it worth it. I feel like if you, for me anyway, like if you're going with someone that is not a Disney lover and you're trying to woo them, I think that picking a resort that just caters to a specific theme, like, doesn't necessarily have to be deluxe, but like I think that deluxe definitely makes you feel like you're on more vacation, like an upscale vacation versus not. And I think that for that reason, the deluxe resort makes it worth it.
And the dining options are much better at deluxe resorts.
1,000%. I think that's an ultimate, you know, thing that, and you know, the style of the pools.
Like transportation. Oh my God, we just named a whole bunch of things.
I mean, there's like a lot. There's a lot.
We just said we don't know if it's worth it. Then we just named seven things.
We're like, oh my gosh, let's go now. Okay, next one. Would you rather, this is from Chris, Jingle Cruise or Jungle Cruise? Jingle or Jungle all the way?
Jingle.
Jingle?
Yeah.
What makes it different for you and better than Jungle?
You don't get to see it a lot.
True.
The Jingle Cruise is something that doesn't happen all the time. So it's
exclusive.
Yeah, it's like something different.
I like that. Yeah. I'm going to say I'm classic, so I'm going to say Jungle Cruise for that reason, but I definitely feel like the Jungle Cruise is, I don't know, I like the Walt Disney World version way better than the Disneyland version, and so, but the Jungle Cruise definitely is fun, but I'm going to be classic and pick the Jungle.
All right,
next one from KF Monaco. When the goal is family time, how do you reconcile the coaster peeps and non-coaster?
We say bye. Bye, coaster peeps. We'll see you later.
We've had a situation like that for a while. Our oldest didn't like certain coasters. Like, she would not go on Expedition Everest with us. And I remember having, like, there's always going to be a parent that kind of takes one for the team and kind of stays with them so that they don't feel like they're missing out. Because for me, it was heartbreaking. I didn't want her to feel the pressure of going on Expedition Everest, and or I didn't want her to feel like she was missing out. And so I think when you would take G and Kula to Expedition Everest, I would take, I think it was Bella at the time, right?
Yeah.
We would go get a special snack or something to make it fun, just so that, again, it wasn't like, oh, she felt so, because she already felt bad that she didn't want to go on, right? Like, no one ever wants to say they don't want to go on anything, you know? And so I know that it took her some time to have to be able to enjoy the ride. So we just try to incorporate other things like that. I mean, I'm always talking about food because
I know. I was just going to say food is a great way to like get anybody together, like get a snack, take a break and talk, start a conversation, do some would you rathers while you're eating a snack and kind of have that family moment for half an hour.
Yeah.
And then let the coaster peeps go back to being coaster folk.
I remember I would like let her choose whatever snack, but like we would plan on it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it was
like
fun.
It was like, all right, at 2:30 and it's like 11 at 2:30, me and Bella are going to go do this.
Right.
You guys can continue to go on your roller coasters, but we're going to go take a break and do this. Or you say, if you want to be it as a family at 2:30, from 2:30 to 3, we're doing this as a family. So get all your rides in now and then afterwards. But from 2 to 2:30, it's family time. We're going to get a snack. We're going to get something to eat. We're going to relax for half an hour and just hang out.
Don't say the word relax to a kid because they're going to lose you. Oh. Don't ever say relax. Just say, we're going to go do this and we're going to get, I remember like it was like a fun, I think it was like a fun donut or something she was looking forward to or something.
Yeah.
Hopefully there's no dietary restrictions because that kind of...
There's a lot of dietary options though. So you can you don't have to get the donut. You can get, you know,
there's
something else.
They are very accommodating, I gotta say, because we do have some kids, you know, in our family that have certain dietary needs that makes it hard. But anyway, this one's from Emily. Question for the podcast. Avoiding sci-fi for dinner because my girls will be scared of the movies. So looking for an alternative in Hollywood studios to eat dinner in July.
Are the movies scary there?
You know, that is a good question. That has come up quite a bit. I think there are pieces that come up that can be frightening to like young. I don't think like overall it's scary, but there are a few times where it's like, you know, back in the 60s when they started doing these sci-fi shows.
The horror films and
they're
stuff.
They're like eerie, right? Yeah. And I get it. It's dark in there and you're not necessarily sitting next to your kid in the car sometimes.
True.
So it's like hard to kind of keep it chill.
I mean, it's not against the rules. You can sit next to your kid.
Well, you can YouTube video the movie that you can actually see what they're playing. So it makes it easier.
Maybe that's what you do then. You get them to watch it beforehand.
Well, maybe she already did that.
What was the question again?
So where should she eat if she's not going to sci-fi? Do you think the prime time is worth it?
I do.
Yeah.
I think it's fun. And someone who's an introvert and doesn't like the attention, somebody mentioned this. Like, do you like, if you don't like, I think they were talking about Whispering Canyon. Mm-hmm. If you like the prime time, you'll like Whispering Canyon because you can do kind of the similar thing. You can ask for it not to be so in your face. And they're not as in your face in prime time.
No, I think they're very good about it.
Yeah. So I think that's a good alternative.
All right. Next one from Caleb. Hi there. I'm heading to Disney World for the first time. Tickets are booked and we are staying on Disney property. We only have a day for Magic Kingdom and a day for Epcot. What is your advice for arriving at park open and getting the most out of the shorter hours for a first time Disney goer?
I would have a plan and set the expectations because you're not going to be able to get everything you want out of it.
The thing though is because they're limiting people, I mean, it is getting busier, but I think that we have found, I mean, we're going to experience this for ourselves, hopefully within the next few weeks. But from others, what we have gathered is that even though the hours are shorter, the experience isn't necessarily less.
Right. And the lines look really long because of the social distancing aspect, but they say they go quickly.
They do.
Quicker than they think they would by looking at them.
You look at the line and you're thinking, I'm out. But then if you actually take the time to wait, it's actually a lot less than you would think or realize.
So maybe it's a little harder to maneuver or there's more circumstances you have to go through to get into the park. But I think you'll be able to get the most out of it.
Yeah, exactly. I think definitely if you're doing two park days, I would definitely get at Magic Kingdom early, roped up. Definitely get to some of your favorite attractions favorite being things that you're looking at online because it's your first time, right? So you're not really sure what your favorite is. But I think the best way to incorporate what you think would be your favorite is by looking online and kind of gathering what like your family would be excited about. And if you're going with your kids or whatever, have them choose what's most important to them because once they get to do it, they're going to feel satisfied for the whole day.
Yeah.
Even if, you know, so even if you can't do everything. So I think that to me is my outline for the best day.
Got it.
Even rope jumping Epcot, we've done that and it's been successful. We rope jumped and did the test track, which was really, really fun. And it was good because that line gets long.
True.
All right. Next one from Malisha. Hi, Connie and Bruce. My name is Malisha and I just started listening to your podcast. I listen to it while I'm work and I love it. I have a question. My husband and I are going to Disney just for a late honeymoon in 2022. If the Disney dining plan comes back before then, do you recommend getting on the dining plan or just paying out of pocket since it's just the two of us? Thank you so much.
Would you do the dining plan if it was just you and I?
No.
Yeah, I wouldn't either.
I wouldn't. I think it'd be a lot easier. You know what? I think the dining plan comes worth it. I think if, like I had said, if you're big eaters, you have a big, you know, you have a decent sized family and you're all big eaters, or if you're going to Disney with like extended family members, like one time we took my mom.
Yeah.
And I never wanted her to see money being exchanged at the restaurant because God love my mother. She just loves, like feels bad or guilty. Even though she knew we were taking her on this trip and it was on us, she's always felt the need to like provide money. And
input.
And oh, of course, input, you know, my mom. She's just like me. But it made that less awkward for her.
Yes.
Like there was never an opportunity. You just scan your band and you're done. Like there was never, I mean, you have to tip, but like it was just easier.
I think it's, you know, if you don't have the dining plan too, because you'll have flexibility. What if you don't want to eat on property one day? You want to go somewhere else outside of Orlando. It's just the two of you. You have the ability to do that. You won't have to. Like it doesn't force you to do anything you don't want to do. So I wouldn't do it if it was just you and I would just wing it.
I like the late honeymoon idea. That's nice.
That is nice.
It's going to be so fun. I hope that you guys have a great time and it just sounds really fun. All right. That's going to do it for questions. I know we have some emails we haven't got to, but we will be doing this again, hopefully soon, because there's been a lot.
Yes, there's a ton of them. So yeah. If we didn't get to your question this week, sit tight. We'll answer it. If it's something that is you're asking a question, you're going soon, shoot us another email, info@unlockingthemagic.com. Or you can find us at Unlocking the Magic Podcast on Instagram and Unlocking the Magic on Facebook.
Perfect.
Thank you so much. If you could ask one favor, check out our Patreon group.
Just one.
If you want some extra podcasts and hang out with us inside there, that's one. And if you haven't yet, leave us a quick review on iTunes. That would be awesome.
That's two favors, Bruce.
Oh, let me ask you two favors then, please.
Okay.
Hang out with us on Patreon and then leave us a quick review on iTunes.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. We'll see you guys next week. Have a great week, everybody.
Bye, everybody.